On air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, up to 10 children in Kilmarnock were left behind this morning due to the lack of available school transport. Dara Cleary says his focus will be on his new role as Minister of State. The two teenagers who lost their lives in a drowning accident in Derry are to be laid to rest on Friday. And it's emerged that Letterkenny University Hospital was the only acute hospital in the country not to register a year-on-year increase in the number of admitted patients awaiting beds during the month of August. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Oisin Kelly at about 5:15. First news though this evening, up to 10 children in Kilmarnock were left behind this morning due to the lack of available school transport. The secondary school children travelling to Carndonagh are believed to have had a bus ticket, but due to capacity issues, transport on the bus was denied. The government's decision to scrap fares has resulted in unprecedented numbers applying to the scheme. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin says the school transport scheme is a mess and is calling for Education Minister Norma Foley to take action to provide an adequate service.
This morning I got phone calls. One of them I'm very concerned about. I think up to 10 young students were left behind in Clonmany, and there wasn't enough room capacity in the bus to take them to Carndonagh. You know, while we welcomed the news that there would be free school transport for this year, we always feared that the plan wouldn't be put in place by the government. That's proven to be correct all around the country. But in terms of Donegal, if you take the Inishowen Plinchley, you take Letterkenny, Kilmacrenan, right across the area of North Donegal, Finn Valley, we've been receiving reports from families, and we're obviously contacting Bus Éireann. And the problem is, and you know, in years gone by, there were people who got the concessionary tickets, so they paid for the service. They were less than 4.8 kilometres from the school. They paid for it. They got it every year. They're the ones that appear to be getting left behind. But what worries me is that incident in Clonmany, where I understand those students all had a bus ticket, but again, the capacity wasn't there. It's a mess. You know, what we've called for the Minister, Norma Foley, and her senior department officials to come before the Oireachtas Committee's a joint sitting urgently to outline what she's going to do to put in place extra capacity. We cannot be leaving these kids behind.
Dara Cleary says his focus will be on his new role as Minister of State. The Mayo TD was confirmed as Robert Troy's replacement earlier today. The former Agriculture Minister has been tipped for a return to Cabinet when there will be an expected reshuffle in December. However, he says he is concentrating on his new role as Minister of State in the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment.
I'm only an hour on from getting this position, so I have to get my head around everything that's involved in this and looking forward to getting stuck into this. And there's a big challenge facing Irish SMEs at the moment. We're going to get stuck in on their behalf. They're the most important people.
The two teenagers who lost their lives in a drowning accident in Derry are to be laid to rest on Friday. Reuven Simon and Joseph Sebastian, both aged 16, were classmates at St Columb's College. The boys will be buried on Friday after Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ardmore Road. A book of condolence has opened at the Guildhall in Derry. The Bishop of Derry, Donal McEwan, says the community will rally round the loved ones of the pair. He says the city's South Indian community will need support at this time.
The Sarah Malabar community, that Indian community from Kerala, are particularly close-knit and they will support one another. However, I know even though they've been here about 20 years, I think this is the first tragedy to have hit them. They're mostly young families where death has not been a major feature. It will be a challenge for them as a community to confront this reality that faces everybody, and it'll be a challenge for all of us to work with them through these very difficult days.
It's emerged that Letterkenny University Hospital was the only acute hospital in the country not to register a year-on-year increase in the number of admitted patients awaiting beds during the month of August. Nationally, the total this month was 51% up on August last year, with the highest figures recorded at University Hospital Galway. General Kavanagh has more.
Nationally, 9,603 admitted patients found themselves without beds in hospitals across the country since the 1st of this month. That's up from 6,300 367 in August last year, a rise of 51% and the highest monthly figure since records began. That percentage is reflected in the figure for Sligo University Hospital, where there were 720 patients without beds over the course of August, compared to 484 in August 2021. That's a rise of 49%. Conversely, however, in Letterkenny, there were 395 people waiting on beds over the course of this month, compared to 474 12 months ago, a 17% fall. Letterkenny University Hospital was the only acute hospital in the country that saw its figure drop. The highest figure recorded this year was at University Hospital Galway, where 1,166 patients were without beds at some point over the course of this month.
A Donegal TD is urging Irish people to remain vigilant against any moves to undermine Irish military neutrality. Deputy Thomas Pringle says he's concerned at reports that Ireland is to support in principle the establishment of an EU military training mission for Ukraine's armed forces. Deputy Pringle says maintaining a neutral stance can be difficult, particularly when a cause appears to be worthy and just. However, he believes there is an attempt at government level to remove it by stealth, and that cannot be allowed to happen.
I think we're seeing a gradual undermining of neutrality by stealth, and that seems to be the modus operandi of the Fine Gael, particularly in government, but Fianna Fáil are quite happy to go along with it as well. It's very worrying because, our neutrality is very important, and I think it's very important to the citizens of the country right across the board as well. And repeated surveys, they have answered strong support for our neutrality position. We see the government now taking the view that they don't have a problem with the training of Ukrainian military, and indeed it seems the participation of the Irish military in that training.
There may well be a section of the population that would say, look, we favour neutrality, but given what's happening in Ukraine at the moment, we're not specifically opposed to this training. Your fear is if that's accepted this week, something else is accepted next week, and what you see is a gradual erosion of the whole idea of neutrality.
You have to be neutral regardless of how uncomfortable it makes you feel, or the fact that, you know, that one cause may be worthy and another cause may be less worthy, as your view may see. I believe that the Ukrainian situation is appalling for the Ukrainian civilians that are involved in it and that are suffering because of the outbreak of war there, but I do believe that NATO and indeed a lot of European countries who are actually members of NATO as well have some responsibility for that situation as well. We have to have a position of neutrality that Ireland has been recognised for right across the world as well, and it has been a time-honoured position that we have taken. We use our neutrality status to introduce the first nuclear test ban treaty. That's something important, and that's something that we should be proud of, and I think it's something that we should be defending.
The Cabinet's given its backing to the public sector pay deal proposed yesterday. Unions are consulting their members over the agreement, which would see a 6.5% pay rise over 2 years. General Secretary of the Irish National Teachers Organisation, John Boyle, insists it's the best deal unions could get.
The reactions I've got have been quite positive in the sense that there's a big sea change in attitude since June, because there's absolutely no way members were going to buy that 2.5 and 2.5. The change in the agreement is that there's the backdating until February, which is going to result in, you know, a good package, if it's accepted, a good package coming in before Christmas, and then the lower paid aspect.
Planning permission has been granted for a major redevelopment of the former Seaview Hotel in Gidor. Visada Private has been successful in their application to Donegal County Council for the 80-bedroom development. Emma Ryan reports.
Donegal County Council has granted permission on the basis 18 conditions set out are adhered to. The development will see the construction of 44 new bedrooms and a gym at the site of the Seaview Hotel, Mahar Clocher, Bunbeg. An existing storage area will be redeveloped to make way for an additional 8 bedrooms, while the existing 28 bedrooms are to be renovated. A proposed two-storey extension to the front of the building will see a cafe and additional restaurant area constructed, as well as two first-floor apartments. Permission has been given to carry out alterations to the current restaurant, reception area, new toilets and plant rooms, as well as the demolition of the existing nightclub and toilet block. 94 car parking spaces are to be created, along with a coach set-down area. A new wastewater treatment plant necessary to facilitate the development is to be installed as part of the works also.
A Letterkenny councillor has urged people living in the Bonagee area to attend a vital public consultation on a scheme to upgrade wastewater treatment and collection in the area. Councillor Donal Coyle says the scheme, which was first proposed around 30 years ago, could provide much needed infrastructure to the Bonagee, Drumini, Drumnahoe, Lurgybrack, Leck and Woodlands areas. The public consultation is being held on Tuesday, September the 6th from 12 noon to 4pm in the Clanree Hotel in Letterkenny. Councillor Coyle says he is delighted the project may be finally progressing and urged everyone in the area to attend.
Absolutely delighted. A proposal for a sewage scheme in the Bonagee area goes back almost 30 years and it would give a sewage scheme to the area that has been sadly lacking for a long number of years. The lack of sewage in the area has impeded greatly, and particularly on residents in the area who all of them have septic tanks, some of them working, some of them not working. Being so adjacent to the town the size of Letterkenny, there is a dire need for a sewage scheme in the area, and that would open up all that area and help the residents and the businesses. The consultation place will take place in the Clanree Hotel on Tuesday the 6th of September from 12 o'clock to 4 o'clock. And I would make a special appeal to all interested people in the area, and I'm talking about from Drumnahoe, Bonagee, Drumini and Drumore area in particular, and indeed adjacent areas as well, who come and give their views on it and see what the council are proposing to submit to the government regarding the scheme.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's time now for all the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with cross-channel football. Chelsea have completed the signing of Wesley Fofana from Leicester City. The French central defender moves to London in a deal worth €81 million with a possible €6 million add-ons. Fofana's agreed a seven-year contract at Stamford Bridge. He was part of the Leicester side that beat Chelsea in the 2021 FA Cup final. Erik ten Hag feels it's unlikely he will try to buy more players before tomorrow's transfer deadline once the signings of Antony and Martin Dubravkov are complete. The Manchester United boss also confirmed that fullback Aaron Wan-Bissaka will be staying at Old Trafford. He was also asked whether Cristiano Ronaldo could leave before the deadline. Ten Hag feels they can't afford to lose any of their attacking options.
Of course, but I just said we need quality plays, and you need more to cover all the games to keep also the consistency going, and that is what we strive for.
Elsewhere in the transfer front, Bristol City and Burnley have reportedly joined the race to sign Republic of Ireland striker Callum Robinson from West Brom. The 27-year-old has been linked with a move to Cardiff City. Robinson wasn't part of the baggy squad for the draw with Wigan in the Championship last night. On the pitch, there's five games down for decision in the Premier League this evening. Erling Haaland may be rested for champions Manchester City, who host Nottingham Forest. Leaders Arsenal will bid for five wins in a row against Aston Villa. Eddie Nketiah may get a start for the Gunners. Villa boss Steven Gerrard says he's able to cope with pressure after experiencing it as manager of Rangers. Villa have lost three of their opening four games.
We built a club up there from the floor, and it took time. Times and periods of suffering and pain and tough reactions from a really demanding crowd. So this is not my first rodeo. I know exactly where I am, what I've got to do.
Also tonight, Wolves are away to Bournemouth, Spurs go to West Ham, and Liverpool entertain Newcastle United at Anfield. Darwin Nunez remains banned for the Reds. Up in Scotland, Celtic are in League Cup second round action tonight. The league champions take on Ross County, while Hearts host Kilmarnock. Motherwell meet Inverness, and Livingston take on Dundee United, with all four matches there underway at 7:45. A number of games being played here in Donegal tonight in the Donegal Junior League Brian McCormick Cup in the Gwydor area. Gwydor Celtic are up against Glenae United, and Kilmacrenan Celtic play Cranford United. While in the Lufford area, Lagan Harps meet Dromahull FC. And in the Voodoo Venue Cup, Kildrum Tigers are up against Old Town Celtic. Two games as well in the Colin Breslin Youth Cup. Ballyrain will play Kilmacrenan and Celtic, and Letterkenny Rovers to go on Ballybuffet United. Turning our attention to horse racing, and there was victory this afternoon for Donegal jockey Dylan Brown McMonagall as he took a 32nd win off the flat season. He won the 5-4 race at Gowran Park on board Kabil, coming home at 4-1 for trainer Peter Fahey. In rugby, Simon Easterby will lead an emerging Ireland squad on tour of South Africa in September and October. A squad of 35 players will travel for games against three Currie Cup teams, with the first penciled in for September the 30th. All three matches will be played in Bluefontaine. And in tennis, Andy Murray is in second round action at the US Open this evening. The Scot goes up against Emmanuel Nava of America. That one has just started at Flushing Meadows. In the women's draw tonight, all eyes will be on Serena Williams, the 23-time Grand Slam winner, who has indicated she will be stepping away from the sport after the tournament, takes on the number 2 seed, Annette Contavit. And that's it from the sports desk. We'll be back with more tomorrow morning. Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin, and we're turning to some news. An IT firm that employs over 1,000 people in Letterkenny says with increasing digitisation, the threat of cyber attacks is also rising, and so is the demand for IT security experts. According to the latest risk and cyber security study by Letterkenny-based IT business Tata Consultancy Services, the biggest challenge in cyber security is not budgets, but the lack of professionals with relevant expertise. Jared Grant, Director of Strategic Initiatives at TSC in Letterkenny, says businesses are facing a challenge of retraining skilled workers if its IT systems are not up to date. He also added that the rise in people working from home has created a need for increased security.
Over half the companies we worked with in this survey in both locations had invested 50% plus in increased IT security budgets over the previous period. And they've probably seen that coming to the second phase of COVID that they needed to do that. But the challenge now is the skills and the skills matching. So getting the people into the business to do the work, retaining them then. And if companies don't have a good security posture, if they don't have good security tools and technologies, especially the new graduates and the new hires, they're like, I don't want to work here. Like, they don't have great tech, so I'm going to go across the road where they have better tech and better systems. And that's become a challenge as well. The companies that need the most help are struggling to get the people that can give them the help.
Yeah, well, if I'm my job's protecting the president, right, I want a secure site. So that's the office. That's now the we've office. Got remote working.
Yeah.
Okay, so from a cybersecurity perspective, what challenges does that create?
Remote working after the 2 years, you know, companies have got, you know, firewalls and end-user computer devices so that if somebody's going home with a laptop, they typically go home and there's a firewall, good antivirus on it, good malware protection. Most companies would have good end-user protection. Yeah. And they're also the insistence around multi-factor authentication, not just in the tent, you know, that you get a text and saying, is this you, or you've just tried to log in, but they're very sophisticated methods of multi-factor authentication where we randomize it for people. So on a Monday morning, you might get a text saying, yeah, this is you, log in. Mm-hmm. On Tuesday morning, the app might notify you. Mm-hmm. So we're not relying on one technology to actually authenticate you.
Medical card patients who are entitled to free care have received more than €2,600 in refunds in recent years after being charged for blood tests by their GPs. Donegal Dr. Dennis McCauley, who is chair of the GP committee of the Irish Medical Organisation, says the medical card scheme is for acute care and the refunds were in very specific instances. He says routine blood tests are not covered by the medical card contract.
We're dealing with a contract which is, you know, almost 30 years old. That states there were no blood tests envisaged, but the GPs weren't taking bloods. So bloods are an extra service. The GMS contract is an acute contract. It was very much just for acute care. I have a sore throat, I have a sore back, I have a sore head. You come to the doctor, you actually get it treated. General practice has evolved since then. We do so much more. And as listeners know, there are so many things that are covered by the medical card, but there are certain things that aren't. For instance, driving license medicals would be one. You know, letters of support for certain services. These are all things that you will be charged by your GP. Similarly, bloods. Now, remember that if you're living in Glencullen, Kill, or Malin Head, those bloods have to be taken by the doctor. Our staff have to be transported to the lab. Then they have to be analysed. And then the doctor, the patient is encouraged to ring back to talk about their actual bloods. So that is a service that is not envisaged in the GMS contract as it stands. So therefore, there's a charge for it. And I'm quite comfortable with that, and I'm quite happy to defend it. But going forward, the chronic disease program, the chronic disease management program, people who've had asthma, heart disease, strokes, they historically, they were always coming in to the GP, and they'd have been charged for bloods. Now, the government, there's a special scheme that is there. We are looking after these people, and the government are paying us to take the bloods. So therefore, it's almost a recognition. The government recognised that this isn't a service that was envisaged.
Weather now dry with sunny spells this evening. Tonight will be dry and clear with patches of mist and fog. Lowest temperatures of 7 to 11 degrees. And the closing headlines this evening, up to 10 children in Clonmany were left behind this morning due to the lack of available school transport. The secondary school children travelling to Carndonagh are believed to have had a bus ticket, but due to capacity issues, transport on the bus was denied. The two teenagers who lost their lives in a drowning accident in Derry are to be laid to rest on Friday. Reuben Simon and Joseph Sebastian, both aged 16, were classmates at St Columb's College. It's emerged that Letterkenny University Hospital was the only acute hospital in the country not to register a year-on-year increase in the number of admitted patients awaiting beds during the month of August. Nationally, the total this month was 51% up on August last year, with the highest figures recorded at University Hospital Galway. And a Donegal TD is urging Irish people to remain vigilant against any moves to undermine Irish military neutrality. Deputy Thomas Pringle says he's concerned at reports that Ireland is to support in principle the establishment of an EU military training mission for Ukraine's armed forces. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 31st of August. The death has taken place of Robbie Barclay, Town Parks Convoy. Reposing at Gibson's Funeral Home Convoy this evening from 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock and again tomorrow Thursday and Friday from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Funeral from there on Saturday at 12 noon for service in St Ninian's Parish Church Convoy at 12:30 with burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining churchyard. The death has occurred of Noel O'Dea, Town Parks Rafoe, formerly of Brewery, County Limerick. Noel is reposing at Kelly's Funeral Home this evening with rosary at 8 o'clock and again tomorrow Thursday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. and from 5 p.m. with rosary again at 8 o'clock. Family time, please, before the funeral on Friday. Funeral leaving his late residence at Town Parks Rafoe on Friday morning at 11:30, going to St. Union's Church Rafoe for Requiem Mass at 12 noon with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Mass can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Rafoe Conference of St. Vincent de Paul, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. The death has taken place of Teresa McGonigal, née Kelly, 427 Victoria Road, Ballymacorry, formerly of Ahiarn, reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Clochcore at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Edward Eddie Crawford, Station Road, Port Hall, Lifford. Eddie's remains will repose at his home until 10 o'clock tonight and again tomorrow from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. Funeral from there on Friday morning for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St. Patrick's Church, Murlock, followed by interment in St. Bathan's Cemetery, St. Johnson. Funeral Mass can be viewed on clonleyparish.com. The house is private, please, from 10 p.m. to 2 p.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Margaret Ann, Rita McNutt, R.D. Newton Cunningham. Rita's remains are reposing at her late residence with family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. Funeral from there on Friday afternoon at 1:15 for 2 o'clock funeral service in Newton Cunningham Presbyterian Church, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining churchyard. Family Fires Only, please, donations in lieu if desired to Medical 5 Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member, or Terence McClintock, funeral director. And the death has occurred in Germany of Mary Frances McCarron, Rug, Germany, and Brocke Dunlow. Interment of ashes will take place in Dunlow at a later date. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.